It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me today for It's a Good Life. Today I'd like for us to look in the book of Job, chapter 19. And we're going to start there with verse 25, where it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Now this, of course, is Job speaking. If you're in a place today where you can open your Bible, I would encourage you to do that. Now we're going to look at a few verses here, and that verse I just read comes from Job chapter 19 and verse 25. It's a pleasure each time that I'm able to bring to you the Word of God. It's always a pleasure for me to be able to open the Scriptures and to proclaim Jesus saves. And I trust that when you listen to this program, that you will pray for the program and you will pray for me that God will give me the voice and give me the strength and give me the means of proclaiming and reaching out, proclaiming the Word of God, proclaiming Jesus Christ as the Savior, and also to help me to proclaim constantly that Jesus is able to save anyone who will call upon His name. Now, I'd like to invite you to look at one of our websites today, lrwm.org. Now, you can go to that website and you can look up Bible study helps on there. And in fact, that's what it's called. You can look at one of the places over there that says Bible study helps. And you can go there and you can actually study the Bible by going to that website. And the King James Bible, of course, is what you will find as you go to Bible study helps. There's many other things that you can look for on there. And there's other messages that you can also listen to on that website. Now, as we look at the book of Job, now we've just read verse 25. And you know that Job had so-called friends who came about him and he was in trouble. Job was in trouble. He had lost everything. The devil had afflicted him even in his body. And God told the devil, he said this, he said, you know, of course I'm going to paraphrase this. He said, you know, you can take certain liberties with Job, but you cannot touch his soul. You can't kill him. I'm in charge. You can only go as far as I will let you go. And once again, let me remind you, I'm paraphrasing there about what God told Job or told the devil. And so we see that the devil sent around Job's so-called friends. He sent them over there and they were not much help to Job. They ridiculed Job and they frankly accused Job of not being right with God. But Job had a true friend amid cruel friends. In verse 25, he calls this friend his Redeemer, and he looks to him in his trouble. You see, Job knew. He knew to whom he could look. He looked to his Redeemer. And now the Hebrew word Redeemer here will bear three renderings. First, we see that the Redeemer here is actually his kinsman. He's the nearest of kin of all. No kinsman is so near as Jesus. None so kind and none so kind. Now, you may have a lot of kindred today, and you may be very close to them, but there's none who is closer than Jesus Christ. He is the kinsman, and Job knew this. Jesus is also a volunteer. He's not only the kinsman that we read of here in the book of Job, and as we look to him today in our lives, but Jesus is a volunteer. So what does that mean? Well, he was not forced to be a kinsman. He was not forced into anything, but he did this. He became our kinsman because of his heart, by his own choice of nature. Therefore, he is more than a brother. The Bible says he sticks closer than a brother, and he is not ashamed to admit this. In Hebrews chapter 2, and verse 11, it says, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And of course, he's speaking about saved people here. And we look even to his crucifixion. just as he was being led to the cross, even when everyone had forsaken him. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 10, it says, he called them my brethren. He is the nearest of kin eternally. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, it says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And verse 37 goes on to say, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, no matter what comes into our lives, no matter what the devil throws at us, Jesus is always there. Of course, I'm speaking to saved individuals here, those of us who are saved. He is our kinsman, and he's not only our kinsman and Job's kinsman, as we read in verse 25 of Job 19, but we also see that he is vindicator. He is a vindicator of every false charge. He does it by pleading the causes of our soul from everything, because he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed or confounded, the Word of God says. And we understand that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God right now. He is making intercession for us as the children of God. He is there speaking to God the Father and saying, forgive them, Father. Help them. Give them strength. And he is the one who is praying for us right now. He is our vindicator. He is the one who says, lay nothing to their charge, because my blood has cleansed them from all sin. We've been vindicated from true charges. Guilty. We were guilty. We've sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, how does he vindicate us? He vindicated us and vindicates us by bearing our sin himself and becoming our righteousness. And he justifies us. He justifies us just as the devil went to God and said, you let me have Job, he'll curse you. You let me take care of Job and do things to Job and he'll curse you. But notice, the devil not only accuses and accused Job, but he accuses us. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2, it says this, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Well, Jesus Christ is able to rebuke the devil. Why? Because he is God. He is stronger than the devil. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, it says this, the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Well, how is he cast down? He's cast down by the power of God. He's cast down by the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our vindicator. He has vindicated us from false charges and from true charges. The charges that say, yes, you've sinned, but I have vindicated you through my blood. Well, the third rendering of the word redeemer here is redeemer. He's the redeemer of the person from bondage. He has removed me from the bondage that I have been in this world. When I trusted him as my Savior, he removed me from the bondage of sin. It doesn't mean that I am free of sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As long as I'm in this flesh, I'm not perfect. But one day when I stand before the Lord, I'll be able to worship him in spirit and in truth fully, because I will be closer to him than I can ever be in this flesh. He removes the bondage from me now, but more so when I will see him personally face to face. And we see also not only the rendering of the word redeemer, but we see in Job's life, he had real property amid absolute poverty. He speaks of my Redeemer, as much to say everything else is gone, but my Redeemer is still my very own and lives for me. Now, he means this. He means I accept him as much as such, leaving myself in his hands. Now, are you leaving yourself in God's hands today? You need to cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Well, now, it would seem that Job was also saying this, I have felt somewhat of his power already, and I am confident that all is well with me even now, since He is my protector. Job speaking, of course, of God. And it seems that he was saying, I will cling to Him forever. He is my only hope in life and death. Now, I may lose all else, but never the redemption of my God, the kinsman of my Savior. He says, my Redeemer liveth. Job also had, as he recognized, a living kinsman amid a dying family. Remember, he lost everything. He lost his family. He said, my Redeemer liveth. He recognized the great Lord as living forever. Well, what have we to do with the dead of the Church of Rome? What have we to do with the dead popes? What have we to do with dead Mohammed? What have we to do with the dead of those pagans who worship something and someone who is dead? We need to be worshiping the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can take us to glory. Well, what have we to do with those people who say He rose from the grave spiritually and not bodily? Well, those people, sadly, will end up in the lake of fire. Yet, they do not trust Jesus as their Savior. Well, Job had absolute certainty amid uncertain affairs. Let me back up just a minute. Let me say, those people who say that He rose spiritually, not bodily, they're lost in their sin because they have not believed the record that God gave of His Son. He went to the cross, He shed His blood, He was buried, He died, and He rose bodily. And one day we're going to see Him. Our bodies will be changed to become like Him according to the Word of God. Now notice that Job had absolute certainty amid uncertain affairs. He said, I know. He had no sort of doubt upon the matter. Everything else was questionable, but this was certain. He said, my Redeemer liveth. I know. His faith made him certain, and faith brings sure evidence. It substantiates what it receives and makes us know. Well, do you have this great knowledge that Job had? Can you say, my Redeemer liveth? Do you act in accordance with such an assurance? Do you know today that if you died right now, you would go to heaven as Job knew? He said, I will see Him someday because my Redeemer liveth. Can you say that for sure? Are you 100% sure that if you died right now, you would go to heaven? If you're not sure, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, or in other words, the children of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, I'm not worthy to go to heaven. You're absolutely right. It's only through the blood of Christ that you're able to say, yes, I'm on my way to heaven. It's all by Jesus or nothing else. It's nothing else that will take you to heaven other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not ask Him into your heart today? Why not admit that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means you and me. All have sinned. We all must go to heaven the same way, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All have sinned. Admit you're a sinner. Ask Him to come into your heart. Tell Him you're sorry for sin, and you want to see Him one day in heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.